Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy to be out.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we feel it's a grand privilege, Lord, together here tonight. Lord, it's in our hearts. Lord, it's our desire. Lord, to come see what You have for us this night, Lord. Lord, we ask You to have Your way in everything that's said and done this evening. Lord, let us sit intently, Lord, to listen what You have for us, Lord. Lord, just give us revelation greater than anything in this life, Lord, we ask and pray. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to turn our only believe over to page 392. Thank God I am free. Amen. Amen. For a long time I've traveled down a dark, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out in His saving power. Praise God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, amen. Like a blind man that God gave back His sight. Like a poor wretched beggar,
hallelujah,
found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His holy name. I've been born again,
hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
Hallelujah,
amen. Think about it, saints. Amen. Brought us out of the miry clay. Set our feet on a rock to stay. Amen. Let's turn over to page 674. Amen. Wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, Turn to page 370. Brother Settles might have to help me on this one. I love this little song, thinking about it today. Amen. It is His love. There is something in my soul which keeps shadows all away. It is love, my Savior's love. Hallelujah. Something lightens every burden, gives me gladness day by day. It is love, my Savior's love. Oh, the precious love of Jesus, how it thrills, hallelujah, my ransomed soul. Oh, more and more it is love, my Savior's love. Something makes my life a blessing to the needy and the throng. It is love, my Savior's love. Oh, the precious love of Jesus. Oh, how it thrills my it is love, my Savior's love. Something draws my soul to heaven, that sweet land of peace and rest. It is love, my Savior's love. Oh, the precious love of Jesus.
Amen.
How it thrills my ransomed soul. Savior's love. Oh, the prayer.
happy angels roam.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That song's been on my heart today. Everything he does good, it is his love. It's only his mercy and his grace. And I thank him so much for it. Amen. Brother Amos, would you take up the offering? Amen. It's my Savior's love. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, the precious love of Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. I personally have felt that in my life.
Amen.
Your precious love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. I'm so thankful.
Yes.
We are so thankful for this opportunity you've given us. Lord, once more, the health and strength you've given us, the desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this night, Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, we pray you'll have your preeminence the remainder of the service, all said and done, be for your glory and your honor. Lord, as your word comes forth, Lord, may it find that good ground in our hearts.
Amen.
We climb higher in you this night. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask these things in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Take the request tonight.
Precious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to come, Lord, just to sing praises to you, Lord, and to wait intently for your word to come forth, Lord, to measure ourselves up by your precious word. Lord, as we've come to this portion, you saw each hand that was raised, signifying a need. Lord, you know what was behind that hand. Lord, we just ask that you meet it in the abundance of your grace, Lord, and according to your will. Lord, that it would bring glory and honor back to you. Lord, we just remember those that couldn't be here this evening, Lord, that you would touch them and uphold them, Lord, strengthen them, meet the need, whatever it may be in their life. And Lord, just bless our brother as he brings forth the word, Lord, make it easy for him. Lord, may he truly feel the hungriness of our hearts, holding for the precious word. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory for it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We ask all these things.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Ask our pastor to come at this time. We'll sing that little chorus, Only Believe.
Only believe. Only believe.
us just bow our heads. Precious, precious Lord Jesus. Again, we're so thankful and appreciative in our heart tonight to be here and gathered here, Lord, where you've blessed us with a nice little warm little place here, Lord. And Father, blessed us with a precious desire, a precious longing and hunger, Lord, to do thy will, O God. We just ask again tonight, now that we've gathered here, that you would open our hearts to a little portion of the word. And Father, that even the very simple of us, Lord, would understand these things. And for some reason, you've laid these things on my heart tonight. So somebody must need it, Lord. And I just trust that you'll help them and bless them. And may they receive the food that they desire tonight. Pray thy will be done now. Just wait on you to speak to our hearts through the word of God. In your most glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many feel privileged to be here?
Amen.
Amen. By his mercy and grace, I feel very blessed and privileged to be here. I love him. Amen. Let us turn Bibles to the book of Genesis, if you would, please. Genesis, the first chapter, and let's just read a couple verses, and then we'll have you sit down. Just a little thought for a Thursday evening, Lord laid on my heart. Trust I can bring it out the way I feel he wants me to bring it out. So, all right, Genesis 1, begin at the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, he must be someone really great, because I don't know if anybody else has been able to do that. Have you? Pretty great. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Lord blessed reading his word, and you may be seated. Just in honor of his word, I want to stand up for a little bit. But let's go ahead and read on now a little bit. Let's just renew our minds back to, again, really how great he is. Amen. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Can you imagine just how exciting this would have been? My, I tell you. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. I just love that. Everything he said just happened, just like he said. Amen. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together of the waters called the seas. He sees. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Oh, see why everything stays right in time? My. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The other night, it was so beautiful as I was looking at them. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now we'll stop right there. But it sounds pretty good to me. Now just like reading that scripture. Oh, it's the first book of the Bible. It's Genesis, which is the beginning chapter. And what does it mean to me? How important is it to me? You know, it's strange how much different a great sunrise coming up can mean to one versus another one. It's kind of strange how a beautiful rainbow after a storm has come in and moved out, and now this beautiful rainbow forms, how much it means to one and what it means to another. It's just kind of strange. Kind of strange how a man can walk through the woods, you know, and see the beautiful things that God created, and maybe look in a creek running, a beautiful flickering of the light, and just beautiful thing running down through there, you know, bubbling. Brother Bram spoke of the bubbling of spring, you know, and talked about bubbling on the inside and everything. How it can mean to one person one thing, and to the next person nothing. And it's kind of the way it is with God's precious word. We can serve God and we can call ourselves Christians. And we can read his word. Well, sure. We can listen to it. We can go to church. We can do our duties as a Christian, we call it. But what does it mean to us? And how important is really this word to me? You know? Do I really understand enough that it makes it important to me? Have I been chosen by the grace of God to understand it? Have I been chosen of God? Have you been chosen of God for it to be important to you? And to be your treasure, your longing, your greatest hunger in life, something you're so excited about and so happy to have, so thankful to have, you know. I think about in different times and in ages and past, and even maybe 100 years ago, and up even to the 50s and 60s, and seeing Pentecost kind of phase out. And just to think of the difference of how excited people was to have what they had, what they could get. And it's something they thought about all the time. I mean, it wasn't nothing, absolutely nothing, to go to church 4 and 5 nights a week. I mean, it wasn't nothing. It was just life. It was so exciting. You couldn't wait to get there to see what was going to happen in this service, the next service, and what she was going to hear, and what was going to take place. And only to see it as each day goes by and each year passes on, how it just continues to fade away and fade away and fade away and fade away. You know, that excitement, that enthusiasm, that precious hunger for it, you know, to where people actually thinking about it. You know, and as I've used a little expression before, you know, when I'm sure most of you men that's married, probably when you first fell in love, how you just couldn't help to think about her. I mean, down all day through the job, you just couldn't wait till the job was done and over with so you could go see your honey, you know. And you couldn't wait to get home, to get dressed, to get cleaned up, and go to her house. Just couldn't wait, just so excited. And then when you seen her, it was just, you know, just seemed like two little lovebirds, you know, just so excited to see each other and couldn't wait to see each other. And it just seemed like such a long day and just couldn't wait to get there, you know. And that's just a filial love, you know. But what about a true agape love? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And just how important is he to me? What do I know about him? It's maybe to the reason why, what value is to me. You know? What kind of value is he to me? Is he just a God? Is he just a happens to be one that I want to serve so I can have eternal life? Do I serve him because I love him? Do I serve him so I can get some benefits out of him? That maybe when I pass away in this life and they have to bury me, somebody can preach me into heaven, I think, like the Catholics think. And why am I really serving God today? Why are you really here tonight? What is your real purpose of being here? Is it just to be a member to call it? Is it just to be maybe to have that chance to go to heaven, you might say? Or what is the real purpose? Why I'm here? Why do I really want to read his word? Do I want to read his word just to become knowledgeable? Gain memory and so I can tell people about it? Is that why I want to read it? Or is there something on the inside you're wanting to find out all about him you can, and find out all about what he's done for you as much as you can, or what maybe more you can do for him? It's such a close relationship. Is that what's going on? See, sometimes it's depend on what we understand about something or someone to how we feel about it. It's what we, what conception we've conceived in our thoughts of who he is and how real is that reality to us, you see. I'm just going to use a simple little thing. And I hope you'll kind of go along with me when I do this. And don't be afraid to answer. And don't be afraid that maybe your answer, you're going to get hollered at. No. I want to know what your honest answer is when I ask you this. I just want to see what your, I'm going to use something carnal to try to is to think in the spiritual dimension. But, and I'll use some of you, I'm going to use some of you for example. Okay? Like I said, now don't be afraid to answer me, please. Okay? I'll go ahead and ask Brother Suttles. Would you rather have this, or what do you feel toward that? Because you probably make decent money, so probably dollar don't mean much, does it?
No.
Now that's getting a little more, because you're probably thinking, I could probably buy this, I could probably get that, right? Now this is not real, but what was that? $1 million. Ooh, that's kind of what I wrote on my paper. Wow. You know, I thought, boy, you know, that's getting more exciting. But why does that get exciting? April, what if I give you that dollar, it probably don't mean much to you, even probably with probably a little money you got. But probably $100 starting to sound pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. What about that $1 million? But I think, my, I could buy golden shoes. You know, I could take and have all kinds of fun. I could take my family out to eat every night and do all kinds of things, you know? But why do you feel that way? I mean, why? What's the knowledge you have that why the more it is, the more, it's important. Just a dollar down at you, you think, you know, a dollar? I can't even buy a can of Pop-Art anymore, you know? Now, in some of these other countries, in Africa, and different places in Africa, and so forth, a dollar means a lot, you know? Because they understand what that dollar will do. Then you reach up to the $100, and my, it's just, whew, it's getting a little more exciting. Now see, a $100 bill is more exciting to these younger people than it is us older folks. Because we can go to town, just $100 is gone immediately, you know? But to them, they think, wow, $100, look what I can do with this. But then now us big boys give us the $1 million bill, and wow, okay, now I can do something, you know? But isn't that strange how that what you perceive, what that is worth, how you feel about it? Is that right? What you understand about it is what you think. You know, I kind of wrote down on my little paper here under dollar, and you know, I just put it, well, you get a thank you out of me, you know? And like I say, you ain't going to get much done with a dollar, no. Then you bump it up to the $100, and I wrote down, it's got a little more purchase power now. You know, so and I said, well, thank you very much. Now you might get a thank you very much out of it. You know, I appreciate that, you know? And like I say, because they're realizing what maybe you can do with $100. Bump it up to that $1 million. Wow, this is great. You know? Look what I can do. I can help my brother or sister and do this. Then my brother needs a new car. I'm going to buy him a new car. I mean, my, he's just so excited because. Now, wait a minute. They're all three pieces of paper. But it's what's on that paper. And what I understand, what each one of the pieces of paper will do. Now, what if for some way I truly, honestly, 100% can fully receive understanding of how great God is? And really what He can do. And really know how real He is. But if He's just a dollar to me, He might get a thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He might put something right out in front of you and you might see it and it won't mean nothing to you. Yeah. Takes next fella along, maybe he's got $100 worth. I don't mean to use it money-wise of what his worth, what God's worth is, but just try to use a carnal point to get to something spiritual here. But we find here the $100, now we might think, wow, you know, I can see, Lord, I'm so thankful for this. I appreciate you, you know. And you know, you might, even in maybe in worship, you might think, well, praise God, you know, I know what you've done for me. And I appreciate it, Lord. You know, it's really great what you've done for me. But what if this value of what he reveals to you is out of this world? Money can't compare to it. All material things in this life can't compare to it. It's just completely out of this world. Can you imagine how much different we would respond and be toward what he has blessed me with? Maybe how precious this word is. You know, the one fellow might pick up one of the prophet's messages, you know, and look at it and read it, you know, and yeah, it was a pretty good message, you know. And the next one that's got a little more understanding, you know, that's pretty good. I might read that again sometime. And the next one picks it up and, my, I love this. This is great. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your love for me. Because you're seeing more. Understand more. And all three people could pick up the same book. Yeah. But it's what's understood. What is really real and alive to them. You know. Like I say now, just money wise, just kind of, you know, I was just trying to get you an idea. And like Brother Settles, he helped me out a lot in that because. You know, each one stepped up and he goes, wow, you know, $1 million, you know. This would be fantastic, you know. And I think, what does the Lord mean to us? What does this word mean to us? What does having the Holy Spirit mean to us? What is the things he created and the beauty of it mean to us? Is it, do you see anything about the stars? When I look at them stars, friend, and see it beautiful in that sky and things, I'm automatically going to say how great God's creative power is. How small I look, how small I feel with all the great things he has created. You see? You just appreciate things a lot more. Closer to God you get. The more of God that's in you, the greater you see him. Yeah. The more he's in you when you pick up this Bible, it is just not reading scriptures in a book. It is so precious to you. It's just, you can't live without it. Well, my, if you don't read the Word of God or listen to it or study it or something, you just feel so empty and so lost. Yeah. Like, what good am I? You know? But there's something on the inside he placed there that drives you to it. And you just want more and more and more. No wonder he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They're very blessed. Because not everybody has that kind of a desire. Not everybody has that kind of hunger. I mean, there's people, and we kind of can relate it to people that's in this message. I mean, people in this message, friends, I'm telling you, if you ain't pumping them, priming them, trying to hang on to them and drag them and everything else, you lose them. I mean, it's just, there's nothing there within themselves to keep them stirred and on fire for God. To want to do everything he wants done in their life. And those kind of people, you see them and they let the cares of life choke at them. Choke at them and choke at them. Yeah. Because they don't know the real value. They don't understand the real value of who God is. And his word. There's not something in them to feel that precious communion. The Holy Spirit that within you and that to have that communion with the word of God. and to live for Christ. You see? So how much do we really understand about God? How much do we really, or how much, let me say it this way, how real is he to you? Well, sure, we can talk about him. We can talk about the Word. We can tell maybe what the prophet said. But what about when you sit there and maybe listen to one of the prophet's messages? And there's just something about it, you get so engulfed with it, and it's just, and you find sometimes you just sit there listening to it, and he's saying a lot of different things, and just, you start crying. It's so serene, and so real, and so precious that you see that he's talking to you by mercy and grace. You know, it was God's channel to talk to you through that word, you see. Or is it just, can't wait till this tape's over with. I got to go out and hoe the potatoes. I can't wait till this message is over or I get this book read. I want to get to a certain place today in this paragraph and I got to get to town. Just how precious is he to you? Is that about all he's worth to you? Oh, maybe get a thank you. And of course, some may have that, you know, oh, I appreciate it very much, you know. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. I'll see you on the next healing I need. I'll talk to you on the next problem I've got. Or is it like that? It's just everything to you. Wow, you're fantastic, Lord. You're so great. You're my everything. You're my all in all. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. You're the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah. You're the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. You're the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, how great he is. You know, we spoke about the other day about that inside worship to the Lord. Yeah. Making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Just what, is there something in there valuable enough to you to make melody in your heart unto the Lord? Or would you read the scripture, hear the preacher talk about it, and I've got to remember to try to do this. I should do this because the scripture speaks of us doing it. I should try this. I really ought to be a person who does this because I'm a believer. Does it just come out? That love back to him. Very kindergarten sounding this may sound. But if you had what he's going to talk about tonight in this word, I believe we'd be a different acting people. We'd be a people that really love God. Serve him because we have to. I'll serve him because I've been claimed to be in this message, and that's the bride. We're the people going through. We're the important people. But if you really had the true value in your heart, my, it just comes out automatically. A love, very preciousness of him, the important one that he is to you, for he ordained it that way in a special people. In Colossians 1, read a very familiar scripture, 16th, 18th verse. Colossians 1, 16. For by him were all things created. Again, that's really great. Really great. I don't know if anybody else can do it or has done it. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, even though you can't see it. Invisible, Brother Steve? Yeah, even down to a seed. That germ of life that lays in a seed, you can't see it. It's invisible. but it's there anyway. Because he created it to be so. Yeah. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. If you look it up in the original Greek, it says, or to hold first place. I can see where that $1 bill wouldn't hold much first place in somebody's life. But where men's treasure is and their heart is, if it's on filthy lucre money, you will see that's first in their life. Definitely not God. But you'll see that's first in their life. Yeah. Because that's where their treasure is. Yeah. That's where their first value is on. Their first place. You ever see people like that? Where their first place is make money, make money, make money, make money, make money. You know. Have more, 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 more. And you can see it in people's lives when they do that, you see. But what if you could see in somebody's life Jesus Christ, all that he is, all that he is. Lord, give me that. And your whole life is centered on things above. Your affections are centered on things above and not on things of the earth. And you see that. Their whole life is centered upon that. Their whole life is centered upon it. And you see it. It dwells there. It's present in their life. You see? But he is the head of the body. The church, that's you. You're part of that. That in all things, he would have first place in your life. First place. Now, he knew that as human beings being born on this earth, that it would be impossible to do this and to be like this in themselves. Now, they're too carnal. But he would have to place something inside of him to do this. And oh, am I so thankful that he takes care of that. Because I know in myself, I can do nothing. In yourself, you can do nothing. You might be able to think in your mind that, hey, and you can have plans, I can do this, and I'll be this, and I'm going to become that in Christ, and this, that, and other. You can do all the thinking and wishing and wanting you want. It's not to him that will it, but to him that will run it. Or it's not them that will or run, but to whom God has shown mercy to, you see. That's the ones that's for. Okay? See, whether you want to, because regardless how hard you want to and how bad you want to, you ain't never going to accomplish it. Not unless he does it for you. Okay? For he says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will be also your heart. Now think of that. Now I'm going to read 6th chapter of Matthew and 25th verse beginning. Let's read this. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you. Now are you going to let him talk to you? Amen. I'm going to let him talk to me by his grace and mercy. Okay. I might be up here reading this to you, but I'm going to let him talk to me. Because I want to make sure I'm what he wants me to be. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I looked that up in the Greek and it says, or be anxious or be troubled with cares. Yeah. Take no thought for your life. That what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they, the fowls of the air? Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Now think of that. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now think of that. Solomon was very rich, had a lot. And yet, Jesus himself said, even Solomon was, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, that depends on how real he is to me, to how I can receive this. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now, is he just a dollar's worth to me? And we think, well, you know, yeah, probably God knows what I need, but I don't know. Or does it jump up to $100 worth and, my, you know, I'm going to try to trust him for this. Or is it the $1 million and beyond? Yes, Lord, I commit it into your hands. I know you know what I have need of, and you don't go off worrying. Now, if you go off worrying, you probably only got about $100 worth. And if you go off a nervous wreck, you probably only got $1 worth. But if you can go away with no worry, then you must have the real thing. You really know that he knows what you have need of. Yeah. But you got to serve him close. Be real close with him. Yes. But seek ye first the kingdom. Now listen what he said next. But seek ye first the kingdom. I think I typed or printed it out on seek. Yeah, the Greek on that, is to aim at or strive after or demand or to crave or to demand something from someone. Seek ye first the kingdom, my, of God and his righteousness. And not just seek first the kingdom, but also his righteousness. I wonder how much we seek his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, now that's where you're getting close to him now. Yeah. You're letting him be first in your life like he said that the head would be, which is Christ. You're letting him fulfill that word in your life, of him being first place in your life. When you seek first the kingdom. Simple things, isn't it? But it's so strange to see how well knowledgeable people in the Word of God can become so frustrated and so nervous and so tore up over the natural things in life and material things in life. So strange. And yet to be so knowledgeable. Or in other words, to know so much. And yet fail God like this. That he can't really be the one you really seek first. And you definitely don't see his righteousness like we should. And then without really knowing, we may think he'll provide all these things that we have need of. We think. Where it should be, we know. And he should be first in our life. We should know him on a very first name basis, reality basis, real communion basis, him truly be real in our hearts instead of some kind of a fantasy we're still trying to reach out and trying to believe. You see, which so many people are trying to still do today. Because he's really not real. As he wants to be in your life. Because many times it's we don't want to pay the price. Other times it's just not chosen for it. There's different things that can cause it. You see? But if we sit here time after time after time and listen to the word, wouldn't we think we ought to listen and try to see every word that he brings to us be actually alive and real in my life. Instead of it just being a scripture or a quote the prophet said or he talked about this and talked about that. Let me read this quote here real quick here. Let me see here if I can find it real quick. That's not up there. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He says he was the prophets, he was in them. He was in the Psalms, he was in the history, and he is the things to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. If you're writing it down, he should be then, he should be the principle, which is first importance, greatest importance. If that's what he is, and we believe it, and he says, don't we? Congregation says amen. Then if he is that, then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking. You mean our thoughts? Wow. Of our singing. Even when I sing? Yes. Or do I just sing? Do I come into the congregation and I just sing because everybody else is singing? Or is there really a worship there to a real, true God? The only true God. Or are we just singing because somebody else is singing? No. Whenever your mouth opens to worship, friends, you ought to have that sweet communion in your heart to the Lord every time you do. If you come here to ask everybody else to hear your voice, you get the wrong attitude. Why? If we come here just to sing along with everybody else, and that's the only reason you're singing, I wouldn't sing anyway. But you come in here to worship God when we do sing and praise him and worship him. And not only here, but when you're by yourself. You're singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. But now if you had to make yourself do that, it ain't there. No. But if you just go through the day, maybe working on the job or maybe doing this or cleaning the house, sweeping the floor, and just something in your heart, you just, oh, you're loving him so much and you're just worshiping and you're so thankful for him and all that. Oh, maybe you got something, or at least something starting, you see. Because the scripture said we would do that. Yeah. So he would be the principal theme even of our singing. Yeah. Of our walks in life, wherever we go, whatever we're doing. He's the first in importance and the greatest in importance in our walks. He should be the principal theme of our life. That's our entire life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do. Everything we do? That's what he said. He should be the principal theme of everything we do. He should be the first, most, greatest in importance in everything we do. Or say, or think, should be Christ. Is that right? Is that right? Amen. It's right. It sure is. But now we could be like a lot of people. We could just... Let's lay that down there because I don't understand it. And I don't see it in my life. So it ain't happening. Next! Yeah. Because... That's about all he's worth to you. But just how real is God to us? He is a person. Didn't Brother Brown say that? I just read last week. Sure, he's a person. He's real. Absolutely. And he manifests himself in flesh. Yes. He's real. He created the heavens and the earth. Everything. This grass that grows on the hillside, he created it. The trees, he created it. The moon, the sun, the stars, the rain. He created it. You see? He's God. I'll have to close here. I'm not going to get close to this. All right, let's go on. Let me read this one real quickly. Let's go on to read this. This is Luke 14 chapter, and we'll start at 15 verse. Now, this is kind of, I'm going to give you the dollar side of it first. And let him bring out the $1 million for it or more. Luke 14, 15 verse. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. They didn't have very much. They wasn't going out of their way for that. Well, how many of us brothers would go out of our way for that? Would we go to work tomorrow for that? They told you this is going to pay you $1. Would you go to work for that? You wouldn't. Be honest. Don't sit there and act like, well, I would because I'll take every dollar I can get. No, don't. If they tell you you're going to work for a dollar every day for the rest of the day you're on that job, I'll guarantee you ain't going to show up. You're going to be out hunting for another job. Yeah. So you're not going to show up, are you? Neither did these. He says, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. I ain't enough money. It ain't worth it to me. I got better things to do. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Yeah. I'm sure you'd tell your boss tomorrow, have me excused if you're only going to pay me a dollar. I'm going to job hunting. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Then 5 yoke of oxen was worth way more than that. Yeah. So it's what's more important to us. He says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He just kind of cut his excuse pretty short. I just married a wife and I ain't coming. Just forget it. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother. Now he's really getting down to the real heavy stuff. Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. There's one thing about it, friends. If God offers you this to start with, you better take it. Because eventually, you're going to go beyond this. Yeah. And sometimes it starts out kind of small. Sometimes it starts out as just a little bidding, a little bit of a pull, you know. But now us men, like I said, we would turn that down to work for. But if God offers you even a little bit, you better jump at the chance. Because it might be your last dollar. Yeah. He says here, and whosoever doth not bear his cross, you know what that is, death to himself, and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. See, God don't fool with this thing of not accepting what he gives and invitations he gives. No. But how important is it to us? How great is he? For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him. Let's hurry up real quick. Let me just get a couple more things here and we'll close. Why don't you come up to the instrument, sister, please. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain? It has to be offered to you. If you gain it, in some way or another, it has to be offered to you. If he shall gain the whole world, that's a lot of stuff, friends. That's a lot of cities, that's a lot of mountains, that's a lot of rivers, that's a lot of people, that's a lot of shopping malls, a lot of clothes, all kinds of things. Automobiles, farms, all kinds of things. But what's it going to profit you if you could gain all of that? That you owned everything on this earth. Every man, woman, and child was your servant. What would it profit you? And lose his own soul. Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? My. Just what? How important is this? You see? I wish I had time to go over some of these other ones. But take it home with you and think about this. How much is he to me? How much? And I hate to even use that because that's not even close enough to him, the fullness of him. Not even close, but it just happened I had a fake one, you know. I thought, well, we'll try to use that. But I at least got the idea that, you know, the bigger it got, the wow, the more fantastic it is. My. Well, if we'd walk up and give you $1 billion, why? Well, I'm sure us even being Christians, you know, and fine people, I'm sure if I'd come down and hand you even a real $1 million bill tonight, you'd go out of here really happy. Don't lie. I know you would. I would myself. I would. I'd be seeing who needs this, who needs that, who needs this, you know? Yeah. Well, Brother Steve, you'd be a fool to not put it back and save it all. I'd be a fool if I did. How could you see your brother in need and close up and shut up your bowels of compassion for him? How could you? You see? Amen. Oh, my. So what does he mean to me so far? How important is it to me? Is he a wow, fantastic, great, how great you are? And sing a song, how great thou art. How great. Our Lord. Or is he just kind of, oh, well, Brother Steve, you know, I'll sing along with you, you know, because, you know, I probably should. You know, I'm a believer, so, I need to do this. And all the time while you're singing it, you got a pretty good mind about you. So while you're singing it, you're thinking about nailing that board up tomorrow in the barn. Really? Is he important to you? How many times do we sit around and listen to the word as it's coming forth, or maybe get a message out of tape or a disc, listen to it, and we got our minds on what we're going to do as soon as we get done? Huh? How many times have we come in the house of the Lord and already thinking about what I'm going to eat when I get out of here? One thing about him, he searcheth the reins. He knows our thoughts. He knows all about us. Your brother sitting beside of you may know not the first thing about what you're thinking, but you will never hide your thoughts from him. He knows what he means to you. He knows how much you appreciate him. He knows if he's the first in importance in your life. He knows that. See, what's these little messages got to do, Brother Steve, with all this? I'm going to tell you what. You've got to be conformed to these things or you ain't going in a rapture. You may think because you got a revelation, you got this, that, and the other. But friends, you can understand all mysteries and have not love. You're nothing. I believe that. It's the word. You might take it away and add this to it and, oh, it doesn't mean this and doesn't mean that. He said exactly what he meant. You have all faith to remove mountains. Prophesy. Without love, we are nothing. Without him being first in importance in our life, friends, I can tell you what that prophet said. You ain't going to make it. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and try it with a second-hand religion or maybe him being second place and third and fourth and fifth in your life. Go ahead and try to make it in that rapture. See if you make it. He's coming only after those that he has first place in their life. All the rest is going to burn, friends, and be ashes. that the righteous shall walk on. Yes. Friends, we're not playing church. These scriptures are truly alive. These things, like that prophet said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, is real and alive. And there has been a people ordained for it. That's what their life will be. So hopefully yet, even tonight, in this little boring little message, that we found something to cause us to press on and to get a little higher in Christ. Yeah. I don't mean that to sound as boring as His Word is boring, but the way maybe I have to do it can maybe be pretty boring sometimes. Because I'm not screaming and jumping and shouting and dancing on the benches and on top of the pulpit here and all kinds of things and screaming and tongues coming out of my mouth. No. But if you can get something solid in your heart from the Word of God, it's more important than all that jumping, screaming, and shouting there is. Yeah. As the prophet said, don't jump no higher. And a lot of people today can't jump very high. No. We should be able to. But no. Many better not. Because life ain't there to back it up. But that's why we have these little times. May we dwell upon it and meditate on it. And quit shoving it off on somebody else who needed it. Why don't you sit there and be man enough and woman enough to say, yeah, talk to me, Lord. This is me. Yeah. Find your own self in it. Quit trying to push it off on somebody else. When I sit here and read these things, friends, I'm measuring myself up by it. Yeah. And pray, oh, God, help me. To me, I'll make it. And if I'm short, Lord, show me where I can climb. Make it a greater reality, Lord. You've got to be first place in my life completely. Completely first place. And I've got to live like that and quit letting the things of this life swallow me and choke me and strangle me and lower me down into the valley to where I can't move, can't serve God. So many times people lose the joy of our salvation. But friends, if He's really real to you, oh my, it's really exciting. It's a wow, great, amen, hallelujah, I love you, Lord. You're so precious to me. Oh, you're glorious. You're magnificent. Oh, my. Do you look at a rainbow? And something about it just makes you just cry. I have many times. Why, Brother Steve? Well, it's just a bunch of colors in the sky. No. I'm thinking about that covenant He made Noah. And all them people went through on that boat floating through them storms and saved Noah and his family so that we could be here today. Yeah. Yeah. And how God moved upon them animals to move them in their cell. How God closed the door on that ark and all that. And after it was all over with, there's that beautiful rainbow. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Hallelujah. Stars? What stars got to do with it? Because He said He created those stars. Hallelujah. For the signs and seasons. Oh my. And I can look at Him and look right at a star and say, Lord, I know You created that star. You're the same one that put life in me. You're the same one that put a desire in me. The same one that created that star. Oh, life's altogether different, friend. The bigger He is in your life and the more real He is in your life. But if you're just serving Him because you feel you have to, ain't nothing means anything to you. It's just this, it's just that, it's just this and that and this, that and the other. It's just grass, it's just a tree. What are you trying to say, Brother Steve? You're serving, are they your God? No, I'm not saying that. I appreciate everything He has done. everything he has put life in. Hallelujah. Because he's real. When I see that rainbow, I see God. Huh? Yeah. When I see that sun come up over the morning, I see God. Hallelujah. When I rise out of bed in the morning with the desire to serve him, I see God. Hallelujah. When that desire is in my heart to sit there and read the Word of God, I see God. When I see it, he gives me a desire to come through that door to preach the gospel. I see God. When I see you sit there, have a desire to listen to it and want to be more like, I see God. Hallelujah. When I see people really want to worship him and love him, I see God. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. Oh, yes, he is. How much can you see? How real is he to you? Hallelujah. Let us all stand. Praise his holy name. Do you really love him? If you love him, you'll obey him. And if you love him, you'll love to sing a song to him. Wouldn't you not? Oh. What song would you like to sing to him? Anybody got a song you want to sing to him? It's on your heart? Oh, I know. I love him. It's always good. Do you love him? Is he really real to you when you sing it? Or are you just going to sing it because I want to stay in along with the rest of people singing? If you really love him, then sing it with all your heart. I love him. I love him because he first, oh hallelujah, me and purchased my again. Brother Settles, come dismiss us. I love him.
Thoughts, a lot to dwell on. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we're appreciative, Lord, this opportunity to have come to hear you speak to us. Lord, and Father, the only way this message would seem simple, Lord, would be if we only had the dollar worth of love for you. Lord Jesus, Lord, may each and every one have a desire to reach out to that, Lord, total life surrenders to you. Love, Father, that just goes beyond all understanding. And Lord, when we really see it, we know it only comes from you. Oh God, have your way. Bless each and every one. Lord, and may we take this with us and dwell upon it. Lord Jesus, may it do a work in our lives. For Lord, even as the $1 million would be life-changing, so would it, Lord, if we have that true desire and hunger. Lord, bless us now. Lord, go with us, I pray. May your will be done in everything. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.